For the rest of you, you can open up to Romans chapter 15 like we were in just a few minutes ago where I read. And so we're coming to the end of the book of Romans. So next week will be our last week in Romans. Then we'll kick in into our Advent series. And so I'm looking forward to that. When I study this book, it just seems like the arrangement of this book just teaches us so much about the gospel. It teaches us so much about life, teaches us so much about so many different other things, because the first 11 chapters is really just all about God helping us understand and what he's done for us in salvation. And then the last five chapters, he tells us how we should respond because of that salvation that he's given us. And so it's really just an outworking of the grace that's been given to us. And this is really what the Christian life is all about. It's really just all about, because of our salvation, now how do we live in response to what God has given us? So we work from acceptance and not towards acceptance, if that makes sense. Because we are accepted, now we work. It's not we're working before our acceptance, but because of our acceptance, now we work from it. And as we approach the end of this letter, we're going to see how this gospel, how that shapes Paul's kind of dreams, his hope, his goals in life. And so from this passage, here's the basic question that kind of arrives in this passage. In light of the gospel, what constitutes a well-lived life? What's the difference between a wasted life and a worthy one? And I think we all ask that question. A lot of times we think, like college students or maybe 20-somethings are really asking that question. It's like, well, what's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to do this? But really, this is a question I think most of us ask at every stage of life, if not every year of life. We ask something as far as like, what is my purpose in this season? What are you trying to do with me through this time? And I think a lot of times we was like, finding purpose, that's a young kid's thing. But really, it's for everybody. Listen, a lot of celebrities have openly dealt with this question. Jim Carrey said this. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed so that they can see that that's not the answer." And he still, in that interview, he kept saying that he's searching for what the purpose is for his life. Tom Brady, Super Bowl winner, basically who gives all 40-year-olds a chance of hope, he said after winning his third Super Bowl, he says, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? And still there is something greater out there for me." Maybe a lot of people out there would say, "Hey man, this is what it's all about. You've reached your goals, you've reached your dreams." But I think there has to be more than this. What else out there is there for me? And so everybody's asking the questions like, is this it? Is that the goal of my life? Is that what I'm trying to achieve? And at the end, is that all that really matters in life? Well, in Romans 15, Paul basically tells you the answer to this question, what it constitutes a well-lived life. What is a worthy life to live? And Paul's actually going to flesh that out for us in chapter 15. And so what we're going to see is going into this Advent season, this is a great question for us to ask. What is my life supposed to be for Christ? And what do I need to do to recalibrate my life in light of that salvation he's given me and the eternal purposes that he has for me? So one of the things that as you read this passage that stands out in this passage is the way that Paul talks about his ministry. In verse 15, he talks about the grace that was given to me for my ministry. In verse 16, he talks about my offering. In verse 17, he talks about my work for God. In verse 20, he talks about my aim. But specifically in verse 20, let me read again what it says. It says, "My aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." So we see in that verse what Paul's ultimate mission was, his personal calling, which is to preach Christ where Christ hadn't been preached. Basically, he's like, if a missionary hadn't been there yet, that's where I want to go. And so, which for him meant Spain, because at that time in history, Spain was the end of the earth. And so he's saying that he finished, that he is finished with his work in the regions where he is, and now he knows that he needs to take the gospel to Spain. But the reason why he's leaving the area that he's in is not because the work there is finished, but because there's a church there already. So he's saying, hey, I'm leaving you guys here to start a new one in this area because y'all are here. You guys take care of the ministry here. I'm going to leave and do the ministry somewhere else. Now, this assignment that Paul took was not the same assignment for everybody in that age. Listen, Peter was called to stay in Jerusalem, and actually Paul affirms that in the book of Galatians. We see Apollos in 1 Corinthians, who Paul talks about quite a bit, was a guy who built on somebody else's foundation. He was a guy like Paul built it, and Paul kind of took over after Paul, and he was building on Paul's foundation. Preaching Christ in places where it had not been heard yet was Paul's calling, and that was Paul's purpose. And in verse 22, Paul goes on to say, "This is why I have been prevented many times of coming to you." So he's basically telling us, like, listen, I want to come to you guys. It would be nice to see you. But because of the purposes that God has given me, I can't do that. He was like, my purpose is for what God has called me to do more than how much I want to see you. So he's like, I got to go to other places that I need to go preach the gospel. And that is preventing me from coming to you. Because his sole focus is on what God has called them to do. And Paul had confidence to say no in certain areas so that he could do what God was telling him yes in other areas. And Paul knew he knew how to turn down good ideas for his life to focus on the God ideas in his life. And so Paul's understanding of his purpose really came from two things, and that's what we're going to really look at today. And so the first understanding was of the purposes of God in the world. Notice how Paul... Paul grounded his understanding in his calling on God's purpose on earth. In verse 20, right after he states his kind of thesis, then he immediately turns basically to scripture and he quotes Isaiah 52 there. And so you would think he would have grounded his explanation in kind of his Damascus Road experience, which would have been great. Like, I probably would have grounded everything that I was in that experience too. It was kind of this life-shaking instance where God came before him, great light blinded him, went, he was healed. Like, you would think he would have grounded everything that he was doing in life out of that experience. But that's not where he started. He actually went back to scripture to go find his place and his footing in God's purposes for his life. And that is the place where you and I need to begin to find our purposes of what God has called us to do. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself how much of your goals line up with Scripture? You hear people say, you know, I just want to teach kids, or I want to maximize my talents to the best that they can be. I want to do what I love so it never feels like I have to work a day in my life. You know, I want to own my own business. I want to be my own boss. I want to make a good living so I can care for my family. Listen, a lot of those are good things. Like, those aren't necessarily bad things that you want to do. You know, but let me ask you, where do those ambitions, what do they have to do with God's agenda for your life? Listen, God is doing something on earth, and understanding his purposes of what he's doing is going to help you find your purpose and where he has you and what he's doing. You know, I'm a Star Wars fan, like many of you know. Some people thought the last three movies were unnecessary. I vehemently disagree with you on those. But there's kind of this in-between movie that they made between episode 3 and episode 4 called Rogue One. And basically, the movie it is about these people who are trying, of the Resistance, the good guys, they're trying to find out the plans for the Death Star, because the Death Star is a really bad thing. And so they're trying to find the plans so that they know how to defeat the Death Star. And basically, this whole movie revolves around one scene in episode 4 where they actually have the plans for the Death Star, and Luke can kind of shoot his missiles in the Death Star and blow it up. Well, the reasons why they know to blow it up is because of these people that happened in this movie. They found out the plans and were able to steal the plans so that Luke could blow up the Death Star. All right, so at the end of this movie, it's really a tragic movie. It's kind of depressing because at the end, all the people that went to steal the plans died. Like, they died. Now, granted, they were able to get the plans off of the planet before the planet blew up that they were on, but they were able to get it off. Now, if you watch that movie by itself and didn't know anything else about the other movies going on, you're like, well, that's just depressing. Like there's no point to that. Like, they died for nothing, right? You would think, like, well, there's no hope in that. But then, knowing the full context of what is going on, it's like, oh, they actually helped save a lot of people because now Luke can blow up the Death Star. And you saw their work come to fruition. And now you can look at what happened to them, not just as a tragedy, but as something that can give hope to others. And so that's how Paul saw his life. He was part of a grand story that really superseded the outcome of just any small one that's going on in his life. You understand that when Paul finally did get to Rome, he never left because it was there he was imprisoned and ultimately beheaded. And Paul actually knew that may happen. He knew he may be in prison. He knew that coming to Rome may be the end of him. But he could look at that tragedy and say that it's okay because he knows how it ends. It ends in triumph, even though his story may end in what we say is tragedy. And so, and at the end, he can look back and say, well, it was worth it. Listen, we want to live in a way that we may say, you know what, it's been hard. There's been a lot of tragedy along the way, but it's worth it because I can see the big picture of what God is doing in his purposes. Have you ever thought about your life through the lens of eternity and what God is doing through and in the world? Earlier in this series, I told you about a guy named C.T. Studd, who was like one of the most world-renowned cricket players in his time, and I don't know much about cricket, and they bounce a ball and he hits it, basically is what's going on. But in those days, like, cricket was like the football. It was like the baseball of their time. And he was basically the best player on England's premier team that went around just playing cricket. Well, he came to faith in Christ, and he left that all behind and became a missionary to India, to Africa, to China. And imagine if Tom Brady, LeBron James, one of the best players in their sport, decided at the prime of their career, I'm giving this all up and I'm going to be a missionary to a place that hasn't heard it yet. And a lot of people ask C.T. Studd why he would do that. Like, why would you give this all up to move to these unknown places? And here was his response. He says, I only have one life to live, and that is for Christ. And now he is in heaven with Jesus, and he can say that it was worth it to give it all up for what Christ has done. Listen, if you want to know God's will for your life, then you need to start by asking what his purpose is on earth. And many of us have turned the will of God into this idol, wanting to know it more than really you want to know God. But we want to seek God. It's like, God, what are your purposes and how do I fit in with what you are doing? And ultimately, we find out what God is doing in the world through his word. Because that was Paul's foundation and that is our foundation as well. Second thing we see is that you want to sense the gifting of the Spirit in you. Listen, after you consider kind of this overarching purpose of God and what he's doing in the world, Paul sought direction from the Spirit of God in his specific role in what he was supposed to do. That's why Paul used the terminology, my purpose, my ministry, my offering, my aim. He's showing, he's like, God, this is what you're having me to do in light of all that you're doing in the world. And like I explained at the beginning, Paul's was not the same as everyone else. Paul and Peter had very different roles in what God wanted them to do in his purpose. But Paul understood his by sensing what the Spirit of God was equipping him to do personally. Listen, a big thing for Paul is learning your spiritual gift, because your spiritual gift shows you that what role that God has for you in ministry. And as we saw in chapter 12, a spiritual gift does not release you from other responsibilities, but it's just a specialization in the assignment that God wants you to do. It's a special way that God wants to use you, and figuring out yours is essential, because apart from it, you'll never really experience the kind of experience that God wants to use you like he did in the early church. And here's the key. Whatever gift you have needs to be viewed in light of the bigger picture of what God is doing in his stated word, which is to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Listen, it's not supposed to be viewed at how to make you more successful or how to make you more money. It really should be viewed in how to do God's purposes around the world. The church has one mission, and Paul quoted that very, very obviously in verse 21. It says, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. We all have that same role. Some of us are called to go out to the front line like Paul was. He was to be where nobody else has gone before, and there's missionaries around the world doing that today. Some of us are called to reach people here. Some of us are built to build up the church and maybe help send out other people. But everything is aimed to fulfill verse 21. John Piper said it famously about the Great Commission. There's only three options. You can either obey God, you can either send, or you can disobey. So go, send, or disobey is basically the three options. And notice in verses 25 through 27, Paul basically takes up this offering so that to help the ministry efforts. And that's basically what we're doing here. When you give, ultimately that is what you're giving towards that help get the gospel to the essentially to our community around us and eventually to the ends of the world. Yeah, we have bills to pay and so forth, but in doing that, we hope that paying our bills will have a facility and other things to be able to use to reach the gospel to other people. So here are a few things that we can ask ourselves going forward. First, what has God called me to do? Listen, it's never too late for you to ask to receive an assignment. Paul was probably around 60 years old when he wrote this letter. And so he didn't say, well, there's not much for me to do here, so let me just move down to Florida, pick up seashells the rest of my life, and just enjoy life, you know? That's not what Paul said. Paul was always asking, what does God have for me in view of what he's doing in the world? Always ask the question and always be on mission. Second, practice the spiritual gifts that you have. If you're not sure what your purpose is, then just get engaged and then you'll figure it out, I promise you. The more you're engaged in the mission, the more God will reveal the gifts that you have that he's given to you. Listen, limiting himself to places where people have never heard the gospel was Paul's mission. It was his exclusive focus. But listen, at the beginning of his ministry, that's not what he did. At the beginning, he spent a lot of time in Jewish synagogues. He went teaching church leaders and a lot of different things. But at this point in his life, he had narrowed his focus down to something very particular that God had called him to do. And as Paul walked towards obedience, God clarified more and more of his purpose. And he was able to be very streamlined in what God has called him to do. And he didn't get sidetracked at all. He kept focused on what God called him to do. So don't panic whatever age you're at, because you still can have clarity and vision for God's plan for your life. Just take steps of obedience, and the more you walk, the more he'll reveal to you. Listen, God steers moving ships. He doesn't steer docked boats. So we got to be moving. Third, take hold of your ministry dreams that God has put on your heart. Listen, if you have ministry dreams, they're probably there for a reason. We just don't go around saying, oh, I want to go to this far off place and preach the gospel for just on our own. Like, God has to put those things in our life. God has a purpose in pursuing them. Listen, Paul never got to Spain to preach the gospel, even though he felt God calling him to go there. We see in verse 24, that was actually Paul's desire. But God used the desire to prompt him to write a letter to the Romans to prepare them for his visit en route to Spain. He wasn't intending to write this gospel standard for the rest of us for the rest of history, but to prepare the church of Rome for his visit. That was the point of this letter. But God had a different purpose for Paul, but he was using that purpose that he had placed in him so that one day he would write a letter that would go through, that would be published throughout books, the most published book in history, to where we could understand what the gospel is and what our purpose is in the gospel. And you guess what actually happened after Paul? People went to Spain. See, God may have not got him to Spain, but God used his desire to get to Spain to help further his mission. You may not ultimately get to where God is telling you to go to, but he's using that in the process to still bring up his church and to bring others to Christ. God will put it in your heart, but he will accomplish it in his own time and in his purpose. Last, if you're called to stay, then take the assignment seriously. When it comes to the Great Commission, like we said, there's three categories. You go, you send, or you disobey. And here's the thing. Those who sin have to be just as every bit committed as those who go in giving and in supporting. That's why we're about to take up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That's why we help support Michael and Katrina. And we do these things because we have to be committed to them so that they can continue the gospel message. And a lot of time where Michael and Katrina are in places that really haven't heard. We have to be as much support, as committed in our support as they are in to go. So just know that even if you're not called to go, you have to be every bit as committed as the one who does go. And listen, but the reality is that this is the calling for all of us, is to make disciples and help reach those around the world. So the question is, are we still doing that? Are we still trying to do that? Or are we not moving? Let's be a part of the mission. Let's be a part. Let's continually ask the question, God, what is my role here? Give me clarity. Help me take steps of obedience to get clarity in what you're calling me to do. And if you truly believe the first 11 chapters of Romans, then chapter 15 is a natural overflow of what we've learned about the gospel. If you believe, then you'll go and then you'll send. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and that it challenges us. And Father, we just pray that today, Lord, we ask the question, Father, where would you have me to be and what would you have me to do in light of what you're doing in the world? The question is not, well, I've arrived, I'm done. Father, I know you don't have anything for me. The reality is, according to your word, Father, you're not done with us until you take us to be with you. So, Father, help us to understand that. Give us a heart for your mission and help us to be obedient to the call. We ask this in your name. Amen.